Have you ever had a panic attack?
You think you're going to die, or you think you're going crazy, or both. Sweating, hot, can't breathe, weak knees, but tight joints, dizzy. You might feel like you're going to pass out, and literally that your mind is just going to go crazy.
That's one of Peninsula Community Legal Centre's clients. To protect her identity, we'll call her Sarah. Sarah is a highly intelligent woman. She loves to write. She works as a barista. She suffered from postnatal depression after she gave birth to her daughter and has had a severe anxiety and depressive disorder ever since.
That got to such a point that everywhere I looked, there was a way to kill myself. It was really, really a strong mental chemical imbalance, bleach in the laundry or a knife in the sink. Like, I didn't leave the house because if a car was driving past, it was scary to me. The sort of the thoughts, the impulses.
When she was about 18, Sarah began a relationship with an old school friend.
It was sweet and cute and good, and it felt comforting knowing that someone was there, especially with the anxiety, just there's someone there.
But her boyfriend was a drug dealer. He took advantage of Sarah's clean record to protect himself from exposure to the authorities.
Phones, he had different names on the SIM cards and my name on bills. And my name for the registration, even though I didn't drive, I didn't have a license. I was too scared and anxious to drive, so I never actually got my license. Over the years, like, it would just always be my name going on everything.
After a few years together, Sarah's boyfriend became violent.
Yeah, he couldn't find, I think it was his car keys. I didn't want to help him find them, I just wanted to sleep. And that was, he just lost it and dragged me out past the couch in the lounge room and threw me out the front door, and I had like a grazed knee and I was in my pajamas and I was crying and I didn't know what... I only just woke up. That was the very first time. From there, once he stepped over that mark of being sort of violent and aggressive, it was much easier for him to do, I guess, and it was quite often. Because of the situation, the selling of the drugs and the people in the house and the sort of the abuse and the fighting, my anxiety was obviously at a peak.
One day, Sarah noticed that there was mail addressed to her. She opened it and discovered that she'd received a fine for unauthorized use of a toll road. More and more of these fines arrived. Her boyfriend took them from her and said he'd take care of them. But Sarah's boyfriend wasn't taking care of the fines. He was ignoring them. More and more fines in her name arrived. In Victoria, toll road infringements are self-enforcing and automated. If a person gets an infringement notice, the onus is on them to challenge it or pay. Otherwise, it automatically goes to the next level of enforcement. That's what happened with Sarah. When she first received the fine, she should have nominated her boyfriend as the driver. In her anxiety, she was paralysed and couldn't act on it. She would have received a penalty reminder. But as we know, nothing was done. The notice would have automatically lodged with the infringement courts. They would have automatically issued an enforcement order against Sarah. Then the courts would have issued her with an infringement warrant, giving the local sheriff powers to confiscate her property or even arrest her. After 12 and a half years, Sarah extracted herself from the relationship. But her situation remained unstable and her anxiety and depression were fiercer than ever. It was in this context that she found herself in an open court fighting $8,000 of road toll fines. Hearing about her circumstances, the magistrate was sympathetic and told her to get a medical report. Sarah asked her GP to provide one.
But my GP wrote me the worst medical report. It was all wrong. His dates were all wrong. And so when I went back to court and my judge said, this is not enough, this is not good enough, and I all but gave up. I was, I can't do this. I don't have the energy or the mind to do this right now. So I basically went on Facebook and had a bit of a whinge.
A Facebook friend of Sarah's suggested she go to Peninsula Community Legal Centre.
I'd never spoken about these things to even a psychologist. I said, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to unload all this on you. But she said, the more we know, the better.
Her lawyer arranged for Sarah to meet with a psychologist. He wrote a comprehensive report describing the abuse, depression, anxiety and how, in Sarah's circumstances, it was impossible for her to navigate the bureaucratic maze of the Victorian fine system. She'd been funneled into a process that could have landed her in jail. And usually all of the fines were discharged without conviction.
But she did say to me, don't ever go back to my ex. And I said, okay, I'll wait.
Sarah only had to pay a small administration fee. Meeting her lawyer and psychologist sparked a process of recovery for Sarah. She continued to see the psychologist and has been able to overcome her anxiety and depression.
And I got a job and I have friends and I have a social life, like a proper social life. And it all, yeah, pretty much started from coming here and meeting just such nice people. Women who are strong, smart, and independent, and they've achieved things in their life. And they have goals. I never had goals. And they inspired me to hopefully one day be like that, even half of that. I can't even relate to who I used to be. It's like a distant memory. And I know I'm only starting to get better. So I could be one of them, you know, with goals and achieving goals even. You know, it's a very exciting time for me right now.